Well, I'm excited about this new year. You know, Danny Johnson came last week, and he was talking. He shared a scripture out of Genesis about how Noah and his family and the flood, how on the first day of the 10th month, they looked out and they saw the tops of the mountains. And the Hebrew calendar is different from the Gregorian calendar. You know, the first day of the 10th month. He said, and I haven't searched this out, so I'll trust his study on this, but that is equivalent to the January 1st on our calendar. So, you know, when they saw the tops of those mountains, that was a new beginning for them, right? I mean, y'all can understand that, right? Noah and the flood and everything was wiped out, and they saw the tops of these mountains, and they were getting ready to start a new beginning. And that's what he was sharing, you know, January 1st being a new beginning, a new year, 2020. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about new beginnings today. And, you know, this church, 37, I think, plus years ago, was founded on faith. Was it not?
Yes.
Some of y'all been here that long. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Founded on faith. So I thought it good. Why not start 2020 in faith? Amen? And I want you to keep that little feather in your cap. 2020. Starting 2020 out in faith. In faith. Amen?
Amen.
But it takes faith to believe. And throughout this month, I've pondered this, and I want to share what I believe the Lord is showing me for 2020 for Christian Growth Center. And I thought I would take like one day to do that, but I think I'm going to share it over this entire month, just kind of introduce a little by little over this month, because it's going to take faith to believe what I believe God has for Christian Growth Center in 2020. It's going to take faith, but we have to reach out for it. Amen? We have to reach out for it. Forgetting all that bad stuff that has happened in 2019 and before, and that can be personal, that can be corporately, just forgetting that stuff. Forgetting it. What did Paul say in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13? Out of King James, he said this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." One thing he did, forgot what was behind him. You all know Paul's life. You know how he persecuted the church and even some to death, watched why they stoned Stephen and held the clothes of those that were stoning him. And, you know, all of that, he's saying he's leaving all that behind. And he's reaching forward to what is before. And that's what I want us to do. I want you to do that in your life personally in 2020. And I want us to do it as a corporate body here at Christian Growth Center, reaching forth to what is before and leaving behind what belongs in the past. Amen? We have to get to that point to make a quality decision to leave the past in the past and press on to the future. A new beginning. A fresh start. I love how the Holy Spirit works like this. And those songs that we sung, every single one of those songs had something that I believe the Holy Spirit is going to incorporate into the message today. And I just think that's so cool, because I don't pick the songs, but the Holy Spirit does. And then the Holy Spirit, I believe, I hope, speaks through me what He wants to communicate and just how it all comes together. Do you see how praise lays a foundation or prepares the way for the word to be shared and how important it is? So when you come, listen. I know some of y'all like to get here at 10:15, 10:20. Maybe you don't like the music. Maybe you can't get out of bed. I don't know. But it is important that you be here. Because when we worship together corporately, it makes a difference. So when 10 of y'all are missing when we start, it makes a difference. When 15 of y'all are missing when we start, it makes a difference. When half of y'all are missing when we start, it makes a difference. And I don't like to use the word energy, but it brings an anointing into the room when we're all gathered together and we're praising and worshiping our Lord and Savior. So when we're talking about new beginnings, let's just let that be part of it. Let's recommit ourselves to some things. So let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to come and be here on time so that you can praise and worship. Because we miss you when you're not here. When you're not worshiping with us. The music may be too loud. Stand in the back. Stand out in the foyer. Just come. Come and be a part. Lend your part to us. Amen? So, we want to press on, as Paul said. We want to press on, leaving what is in the past behind. So, part of what the Lord is showing me, and I'm believing for 2020, again, I'm going to share just bits and pieces of what He's showing me. Part of what He's showing me for Christian Growth Center for 2020, and He dropped this number in my heart about 3 years ago. And I know we're not about numbers, but there's a reason why He wants to see this, I believe. And so I am believing for 120 in regular attendance on Sunday for 2020. Amen. And I want, and the reason I'm sharing these things with you, I want you to stand in agreement. And put your faith out there for these things. I told you, it's going to take faith to believe. You know, that may double our numbers that we see now. But that's what He dropped in my heart some years ago. And I've been standing and believing for that. But I'm going to continue to, and I want you all to do that as well. More focus. I pray and believe that you, in your personal life, will be more focused. More focused. And I want us, as a church, as a corporate body, and I want me, myself, Nikki and I, to be more focused on what the Lord is saying to us and expecting from us. And I want you all to keep us accountable. But I want you all to reach out and be more focused in 2020. Focused on whatever the Lord has told you, whatever He's shared with you. Focus in on that. And as a church, I want us to focus in on some of these things that I'm going to be sharing over the next coming weeks as well. Corporately and personally. So talking about faith, I said this church was founded on faith. We're a faith church. We believe in faith. We believe that life requires faith. If we want that abundant life that Jesus died to give us, I believe it requires faith to receive that. Amen? But what about personally, you know, personally in our personal lives? What does that mean? Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul wrote this. He said, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Well, how much faith has He given you? How much faith has God given you? Well, I can tell you He has given you enough faith. Enough faith to make sure that you are covered for any event that comes along in your life. He has given you enough. Rest assured in the fact that God has imparted enough faith to you to make sure that you're covered from head to toe. How can we say this? Listen, God, He knew the end from the beginning. He knew you when you were still in your mother's womb. He knew your life before it happened. He knew every trial that you were going to go through before it came upon you. He knew every victory that you were going to celebrate in your life. And He has given provision for all of that. And He's given you enough faith for whatever trial, whatever tribulation comes your way, to stand anything. Anything. There's no surprise to Him. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, Paul talks about a shield of faith. A shield of faith. So what am I doing today? I want to encourage you in your faith today. I want to encourage you in your faith today. In Ephesians 6, 16, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all. How many? All. Some? A few? Only sickness. Only depression. Only death. All. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He's given you a shield of faith. That faith is like a wide and long shield and is adequate to cover any need that will ever occur in your life. If you look in the original Greek, that word shield, it's compared to a door, basically. And if you, okay, I got to get my movie reference in there, right? How many have seen the movie Gladiator? Give me a raise of hands. Come on. Oh my gosh, y'all got to go see that movie. If you hadn't seen it. Oh, one of my favorite movies of all time. Now look, just because I promote a movie, I may not agree with every single thing in the movie, okay? But if you've seen the movie, how many have seen it again? Let me see those hands. All right, you understand what I'm talking about, this scene then. There's a scene where they're in the arena. And it's the first time that Maximus is in the arena with all the other slaves that they have captured. And they've given him all these shields. And they are the traditional Roman shield. This Roman shield was about body width. And typically, I don't know standard height, exactly what height, but you know, up to somewhere around here. And so they're all in their arena with these shields. And, of course, Maximus, being the general that he is, he coordinates all of them. And they all get in this huddle and they put these shields all around them. And then the ones in the center put them over the head. It's protecting them. But that's what Paul is. This is the word that he is using, this shield of faith, to communicate to the people of this day. Because they were in Roman times. Everybody understood what a Roman shield looked like. And everybody understood that it was this large thing. And so when the Roman soldier would get behind the shield, it protected his entire body. And that's what your faith will do for you. That's why he used that language. You know, Jesus, he communicated in the language of the day. Now hear me in this, you know, and I shared it before, Pastor Rob said it before, you know, same message, different methods, right? Well, how many know, what nationality was Jesus? Huh? He was Jewish, right? He was a Hebrew, right? Was Greek his natural language? Was Arabic his natural language? No, his natural language was Hebrew. But he didn't speak to the people in Hebrew. He spoke to them in their common language, in the Greek language, in the Arabic language. Now, if he was among all Jews, I'm sure he spoke Hebrew to them. And then how did he communicate a lot of his things to the people? He told parables, right? If he was speaking to fishermen, he talked about fishing. If he was speaking to tax collectors, he talked about taxes. If he was speaking to high society, he spoke to them about things going on in their life. He used his same message. He communicated his message, but he did it according to who he tailored it, if you will, to the group that he was speaking to. So that's what Paul is doing here and talking about faith. He wanted people to understand what faith was and what it could do for them. So he's saying that pick up your shield of faith and it'll quench all the fire. Stick that shield of faith in front of you and it'll quench all the fiery darts that the evil one is shooting at you and trying to tear and steal, kill and destroy within your life. Your faith can protect you from the wiles of the devil and this world. Who is the god of this world? Satan himself, the devil. Thank you, Judy. He is the god of this world. As much as we want to sing songs that say God is in control and he is ultimately, listen, the big picture, yes. When it comes to the things of this earth and this world, Adam bowed his knee and gave that authority over to Satan. And Satan has still reigned in that area. And that's why he can come against us to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, amen. But Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. So faith, he's given us this word, this picture of the shield that is protecting us. Our faith is protecting us from all the fiery darts of this world. A fiery dart, what could it be? It could be sickness. It could be mental illness. It could be financial suffering, poverty. It can be death. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But he has given us faith. And the word says everyone has been given a measure of faith to protect us in this world. And you don't listen, you don't need to be concerned that God has given more faith to others than he's given to you. Because what did I just say? He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to go through your life, and he's given you enough faith to get through it. He's given you enough faith to overcome it. He's given you that measure of faith that you need in that moment to overcome anything that the devil throws at you, that this world throws at you. Anything. So stop comparing and contrasting your life to others. Let me say that again. Stop comparing and contrasting your life to others. You know, in my day, we used to call it keeping up with the Joneses. I don't even know where that came from. Does anybody know where that came from? I don't know. I guess there was a family Jones that was, had it all together, and so we were trying to keep up with them. I don't know. Today, I think it takes the form of social media. Y'all tell me if I'm wrong, but how many of you get on social media and you see what someone else is going through or what they're doing or what they have, and the thought comes in your mind, well, gosh, I wish I could operate in that faith, or I wish I had those things, or I wish I could do that. Do you compare and contrast yourself in those instances with other people? If you do, I suggest you read the 10th commandment. I'm not going to share it with you. If you can't recall it, go back and research it. You cannot be comparing your faith with other people's faith, because they're going through something totally different than what you may be going through. But God has given you enough faith. He says he's given you enough faith. Faith to meet whatever is going on in your life. You can't take someone else's faith and apply it to your life. Now, we can encourage others in faith, right? We can encourage others, but you can't take their faith and appropriate it to yourself. The measure He's given you is enough. And He's given you all that you have need of to be victorious. All that you have need of to be victorious. No matter what you're going through, He has provided a way out. Back in the 80s, there was this movie. Some of y'all may have seen it. Oh, here's my second movie reference. Sorry. I usually only do one sometimes, but here's my second movie reference. No Way Out, Kevin Costner. It was a spy thriller movie, and you know the premise around it, there was no way out of the tough situation that he was in. But God has made a way. He has made a way out for you no matter what you come up against. I don't care what I don't care what the world is telling you. I don't care what the medical community may be telling you. I don't care if it's contrary to what the Word of God says, then you stand on what the Word of God says. If the Word of God says that I'm healed, then you stand on that word. You don't stand on a word incurable, untreatable. You stand on what the Word says. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. He has carried all my diseases, all my infirmities on Himself. You believe what the Word says, that He has come to deliver those from oppression and depression. That depression has no place in the believer. No place. It may come on you for a moment, but then you've got to cast it down and your faith, He's given you enough faith to get out of that. His grace is sufficient for you. But you have to operate on your own faith. You have to operate on your own faith. You see, I can be going through something and I can have faith to come out of it. I get a sore throat. And I cast that down immediately. Immediately. As soon as I feel that little tickle, I cast it down immediately. And it's gone. Well, someone else may get a sore throat. Todd cast it down immediately and went away. Well, I tried to do that. It didn't work for me. You can't use my faith, but He's given you enough faith. You got to operate in your own faith. Rely on your own faith. Like I said, we can encourage others with our faith. I can encourage you and say, listen, by His stripes, He says that you're healed. You don't have to suffer with that sore throat. Go and read this in the Word and apply it for yourself. I can encourage you in that. But you can't just take my faith and apply it to yourself. Does that make sense? But we know what Luke tells us. What does he compare faith to? That of a mustard seed. The grain of a mustard seed, the smallest seed known, is enough. If you have yet the faith of a mustard seed, say to that mulberry tree, be plucked up and cast into the sea, and it'll obey you. So you can't compare my faith or your faith or someone else's faith to your faith, because God has given you enough faith for what you're going through. So what do you have faith for in 2020? Have you taken first the time to really meditate on that and get with God and say, Lord, what are you showing me for 2020? What do you have faith for? Healing? Broken relationship? Finances? Love. It takes faith. So I want us in 2020 as a church, I want us to recommit to just some basic principles of faith. as a church body, I want us to recommit to some basic principles, just basic things about faith found in the Word. What does it mean to be a new creation in Christ? What does that mean to you? Do you ever even think about that? Do you ponder it? Do you meditate on that? What exactly am I? What does that mean to me, to be a new creation in Christ Jesus? How does that affect my life? Well, let's read out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this will be out of the Amplified, Teresa. I want to start in verse 14 and read on down to 21, but verse 17 is the one we all know, right? You know, any person engrafted in Christ has been made a new creation. But let's read this in context here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves." Let me read that again. Basic principles of faith. He died so that we would no longer, that we might live no longer to and for ourselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for our sake. What does it mean to be a new creation in Christ? What is our responsibility as a new creation in Christ? Verse 16. "Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view." When I look at my brother and sister, I'm not to look at them from a human point of view, because their human nature is faulted, right? I mean, I can look at someone and see a behavior and I can let that, you know, control my thoughts about them. But the Scripture says we're not to look at them from a human point of view. We don't wrestle with what? Flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities and rules of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm not to estimate and regard anyone from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, someone say, "I am engrafted in Christ." He is, you are a new creation. A new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Getting back to basic principles of faith. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation and the fresh and new has come. You can put away all those things in your past. I've told you before, after I got born again, I didn't even recognize that old man that I was. And he was ugly. Really ugly. Thank God I don't recognize him. I don't know who he is anymore because I am a new creation. "Behold, the fresh and new has come, but all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him." Basic principles of faith. The ministry of reconciliation. That we are to bring others into harmony with him. It is wonderful that we want to grow ourselves and mature in Christ and learn all that the Word has for us. But according to the Word, we're to give ourselves to the ministry of reconciliation also. Reconciling others to God, bringing them into the harmony with him. verse 19, it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with Himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them, and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration of favor. The restoration to favor. Not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us, to you and me, the message of reconciliation. And I love what the Amplified says here, of the restoration to favor. Verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors, God making His appeal as it were through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for His sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through Him we might become endued with, viewed as being in and examples of the righteousness of God. What we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with Him by His goodness. Understanding righteousness is a basic principle of faith. Understanding our right standing with God. Understanding who we are in Christ. 2020, let's recommit and refocus on some of these things. Basic principles of faith. Let us believe for the fresh and new. For your life personally, and for Christian Growth Center corporately. Not relying on the past or looking to the past, but like what Paul said. Reaching out for what is before. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Some things have been said about CGC. You know, we're a strategic church in the New River Valley. We're a house of miracles, a place where miracles will occur, a spiritual hospital for those that are downtrodden, oppressed, mentally ill, physically ill, a spiritual hospital, spiritually sick, don't know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you're spiritually sick. We are that place, a place of restoration, where restoration occurs, whether it's in your life or in others around you, restoration of relationships, restoration in your body, restoration in your mind, restoration to Christ. These are all things that are before us, that we need to reach out in faith for. I don't believe they're just going to happen. I don't. I believe we as a corporate body have to reach out in faith for these things. And why do we want them? Because we want to reconcile people into His favor. Amen? So I'm going to continue to communicate this vision, I believe, that the Lord has showed me for 2020. And I'm going to reach out in faith for it. But I can't do it alone. I don't want to do it alone. I need all of y'all as a family to reach out together. You ever seen those team building exercises they do on some of these courses and stuff? And You know, I don't know. One may be like there's a flag on top of a pole. And, you know, me by myself standing there, I can't reach it. But if my team works with me and we make a pyramid and we climb on one another and one, you know, one person gets... That's how I see it. Us as a team, a family, working together to accomplish what God has in store. But I do believe this. I believe we need to be recommitted. I believe that we need to be refocused on some things. And that goes. And listen, you can't. How can a man? How's that verse go? How can a man take care of the church basically when he can't take care of his own home? Okay, that's paraphrased. You have to get your home in order before you can help here. I mean, you know, with any effectualness, if that's a word, probably not. Y'all know I like to create new words up here. But have faith for you and your house. And then this house corporately. Have faith for you and your house. Reach out in faith for some things that you want to see changed in your house. And then this house corporately. Because our faith is what overcomes the world, right? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Even our faith. And who is the God of this world? Satan himself. So we are overcomers of the evil one by our faith. And faith in whom? Not faith in what, but in whom? In Jesus. In Jesus the Christ. Remember, he has given us all a measure of faith. He has given us all the exact amount of faith that we need for the moment that we are in. Enough for anything that the world throws at us. And the world will throw some things at you. You know, just because you're born again, just because you're a new creation, does not keep you from trials, tribulations. In fact, the Bible says the trying of our faith produces patience. And patience produces fully developed, mature Christians. So count it all joy when you experience trials in your life. Just like we used to say to our kids whenever they would do something wrong, this is a teachable moment. This is a teachable moment. Well, trials and tribulations are a way for you to exercise your faith. To exercise your faith. To exercise your faith. Amen.